welcome to our next broadcast. We're in John chapter 5. There was a certain man at the pool of Bethesda, been there for 38 years, and then Jesus healed him. It's an interesting story. What's 38 years got to do with it? Quite a bit. Stay tuned for our broadcast. We'll try to make it plain and simple. In chapter 5, verse 5, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? 38 years. This goes back in Israel's history. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 14, from Kadesh Barnea to the brook Zered was 38 years. Years, and it was until all the generation of the men of war were wasted, as the Lord had swore unto them. He said, you need to go into the promised land. They could have crossed there at Kadesh Barnea. The land was right there. Go on in. They refused to go in. They sentenced themselves to the wilderness, and they crawled around there for 38 years until they had to make another decision. Until all those who were over 21 years of age had died. Well, here we are with this great multitude of people, and they're sitting at the pool of Bethesda, and this man had been there for 38 years. And he says to him in verse 6, Wilt thou be made whole? Now, there are choices and there are consequences. That's what our lives are made up of. Our lives are simply the outcome of our choices. We're free to make whatever choices we want. We're not free to choose the consequences. Well, he says in verse 7, No man has helped me to get into the water. And Jesus simply looked at him and said, Well, verse 8, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And verse 9 says, Immediately he was made whole. He took up his bed, and he walked. Well, we have a problem now, because verse 9 says the same day was the Sabbath. The last words that we have in verse 9 are the Sabbath. The last two words we have in verse 10 are the Jews. The Jews, verse 10, therefore said unto him that carried that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Well, he was immediately healed, and he was immediately criticized. You can expect it. If you're going to do what Jesus says to do, you can expect to be immediately criticized. And the criticism came from the religious world. The religious world. They're saying, now you do it my way or you're going to face some opposition. And their basic position is, don't confuse me with Scripture. My mind is made up. Well, unfortunately, not only is that true of the religious world, it's true of our Christian world. We have so many issues. We have the issue of separation. We have the issue of repentance. We have the issue of music. On and on we could go with our issues today. And most Christians, don't confuse me with Scripture. My mind is made up. I already know what I believe, so I'm going to find some texts to prove what I believe. I'll take them out of context if I have to, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Two people, in fact, recently have asked me, why are so many fundamental leaders going in so many different directions? This is exactly why. Nobody's wrong. Nobody will do, as the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wrong way, then will I hear from heaven and heal their sin and forgive their sin and heal their land. He said, then, if my people, we're his people, aren't we? That's what Christian means. It means Christ won. And so we have that problem today. Nobody's wrong. Nobody's wrong. Nobody will even say I might be wrong these days. Well, that's the way the Pharisees were. And by the way, the Pharisees thought they were fundamentalists. Well, these Pharisees, these religious hypocrites, are getting all bent out of shape because it's the Sabbath. Well, Jesus knew what day it was. He knew it was the Sabbath day when he did this. And so these Jews, they attack this man immediately, and they say, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed on the Sabbath day. Well, verse 11, he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And they asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Well, he said, that man that healed me, who was it? I don't know, because Jesus had conveyed himself away. Now, we find that afterward, verse number 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus that had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Well, he's got this new strength. Now he's going to walk. Well, Christ found him in the temple, and he comes to him and he says, Sin no more. Sin no more. He that says he has no sin deceives himself, and the truth is not him. Well, he's being specific here. He is saying to him, now, you better be careful where you walk. You've got some strength. You can walk now. You better be careful where you're walking. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In verse 34, it says, Awake to righteousness and sin not. Not saying, we're not sin at all. It's saying in these particular situations in which we find the context of where it says, what are we talking about? Well, here he's saying, you better watch where you walk. Well, where did he walk? Verse 15 tells us immediately, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Very, very different from the story that we will look at in John chapter 9, where a man was blind and Jesus healed him. And the first thing we find out, he also was attacked by the Pharisees. And who did this? And in verse 34, the Pharisees were so upset with him, they cast him out of the temple. He was rejected by his parents. In verse 38 of chapter 9, he said, I believe. And in verse 38, he said, I worship him. We're not finding that with this man here in chapter 5. Well, the context is very, very important. The story is strictly physical. Someone is being healed physically. There is no record whatsoever in this account of him getting saved. Now, if we want to make some applications to someone getting saved in a verse like this, I don't think that violates the Word of God, but it is definitely wrong to build a doctrine on something like this and taking it out of context to do it. There's nothing here but a physical healing. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Calvinists, they love this story. They say, well, look, Christ chose one and left all the rest of them there. He will choose who he wants and leave the rest. No, you cannot build a doctrine on this story about someone being healed physically. It has nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. But the Calvinists love to do that. They'll take these verses totally out of context and they'll make a doctrine out of it. That is wrong. Well, when it comes to salvation, the Bible tells us very plainly there was a church at Jerusalem, and they were preaching repentance and remission of sins all through Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 19, we read that Paul said he fully preached the gospel at Jerusalem. Well, if he fully preached the gospel at Jerusalem, he came by and talked to these people who were captive audience. There they were at the Pool of Bethesda. No doubt, he talked to all of them, and they would have a chance either to accept Christ or to reject him. But this physical healing was nothing more than a physical healing. I hope that man got saved somewhere along the way. There's no indication in this portion of Scripture that he did that at all. Well, there is an indication that there's a major persecution of Christ because of the testimony of this man who went straight to the Jews and said, hey, it was Jesus that did this. And therefore, verse 16, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Well, it gets very interesting here as Jesus deals with them and how he responds. It says in verse number 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Well, from verse 17 on through verse 47, Jesus didn't back down on that. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. Likewise, he said, I am the Son of God. Look at verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Then he says in verse 21, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You can just see the anger building in these Pharisees as they listen to this. He's not done. For the Father, 22, judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. The Father's committed all judgment to me. These Pharisees are about to bust a gasket. He says in 23 that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, Jesus is saying that it would be me, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26, he continues, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And so we get down into verse number 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And he said, now, there's some that bear witness. Now, the Jews, they said, you've got to have two or three witnesses. You know, you have to have witnesses. Well, I'm going to settle that right now, the Lord is saying. He said, I receive not testimony from man, he said in verse number 34. Now, he said, John came and he was a witness, and you would have listened to him. And he said, it was great that John did witness. But he said in verse 36, But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye neither have heard his voice at any time, nor have you seen his shape. And so he directs everybody to his Father, to God. And they are getting very angry with him. He says, the works that the Father has given me to finish, they bear witness of me. What works? Raising the dead, healing the deaf, having the blind to see, healing the diseased, making the winds blow and stop whenever he wants it to, walking on the water, everything that he did, mighty miracles that God allowed him to do. He said, the Father gave me this power, and the Father is testifying of me. I don't need the witness of man. The Father bare witness of him at his baptismal service, when God in heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But he turned to those Pharisees that he was talking to, and in verse 37, ye said, Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You didn't hear it. You didn't hear it. He said in verse number 39, Ye need to search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. In verse number 43, he continued, he said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Then he says to them in verse 45, Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. It would be great if we had some straightforward preaching like that today, but like then, the Pharisees sought to destroy him from that point on, and they'll destroy us too if we preach like Jesus did. Oh, we don't want that, so let's just keep on preaching those smooth things and not get anybody upset. Well, we're out of time. Tune in again tomorrow for another broadcast. We'll look at John chapter 6.